This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk, January 23rd, 2015. And, of course, I welcome all the radio listeners and podcast listeners and InvestTalk.com listeners. And I thank you for spending this hour with me. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Whether your interest is new or you're an experienced investor, we can all learn from each other. So every financial question is welcome. So please don't hesitate to call. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach me during this hour. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our preparations continue for the Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up on February 7th in San Jose. We're happy to be back in that neighborhood. We're going to expand on our answer to a frequently asked question, a topic that's on everybody's mind, and that's about oil. Well, is oil going to go back up? Is it going to go up to 100? I saw a Saudi Arabian oil minister say we'll never see $100 oil again. Yes, we will. It's just when. Might not be for years, but we probably will. I don't understand why he would say that, knowing the dynamics around the world. I mean, it just is interesting that he would say that. Whenever anybody makes a statement of absolutism, I generally say, well, that's not going to happen. But that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about oil sector, possibility of investing in the oil sector. Is it too early, too late, or is it stay away from it? What do you do? So every investor must understand how to find and evaluate information, how to integrate it in their decision-making process. And we're going to talk about that. What's the value of the companies and commodities that produce oil and other needed items like copper? And how do you evaluate those things? Are they underpriced? Are they overpriced? Are they priced perfectly? Are they on opportunity or just stay away? And that's going to be our next Saturday Morning Wealth Conference in San Jose. Now, we're going to examine the world of oil economics around the world, and we'll look at OPEC versus U.S. oil producers and versus the world, how politics play their part, all that kind of stuff. So, and then how you, the average investor, maybe can profit from these collapse in oil prices, which sectors might be places where you should be. We'll also talk about other commodities, though. I'm not just going to focus, the majority of it is about oil, but not everything. So it's called The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. It's February 7th in San Jose at the Hyatt House. You can sign up right now on investtalk.com. And if you sign up by tomorrow, the 24th, you can get a $10 reduction in your entry fee. It'll be $35, just $35. Why we do that is try to get a count and make sure we have enough seating and food for everybody. Because you get, free continental breakfast and juices and coffee and all those things. And we want to make sure we have enough. So what questions do you want answers to today? Let's get to the phone now. Get your voice in the mix if you could. Here's a call from our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART. It's ready to catch your question anytime.
I had a question here. I'm currently 42 years old, and I'm looking at approximately in 10 years from now, I'm at a position that I am drawing a pension, a military pension, and I was hoping to perhaps either pay off my home in 10 years, which I can certainly do just by being employed, or should I, rather than work towards paying my home off in 10 years, is perhaps put that money in the stock and hopefully get more profitability from that investment. Thanks, fellas. I certainly appreciate your folks' opinion.
Well, I'm a very big believer to have no mortgage in retirement. A very big believer in that. I would rather see you pay off the mortgage. And one of the reasons, yes, you might be able to do better in the market. I'm not even doubting that. I don't want people to call me up or send me emails. Well, wouldn't it be cheaper? I mean, the money you borrow against a house is so low and you can make more money. Yeah, I know all of that. But I also know human nature. And the fact is that people tend to spend their money. But if you're forced to put it in your house and put it in a mortgage and pay that mortgage off, You're building a store of wealth in the home. I would rather see you pay off the mortgage by the time you retire. I think it's important. I talk to many, many people that are in retirement wish they didn't have a mortgage. So you need to really pay the mortgage down or off before you retire. If you don't, if you can't, if you have a mortgage retirement, that tells me you need to move to a cheaper place so you don't have a mortgage somewhere. And most people don't want to do that. They want to stay in their home. So, yeah, you probably could do better by investing the money, but I strongly suggest you pay off your mortgage before you retire. Preparation is still a vital ingredient in enjoying hefty returns. Questions every investor should be asking in 2015. That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, we have a busy economic week next week. A lot of economic reports coming out, and not even just the statistical reports, but a lot of activity politically going on around the world. I want to touch base on many of those things, since it is the end of the week. And why the Fed won't raise interest rates this year. You know, I have been saying for some time, rates are probably going to go up, and I do believe rates in the long term will go up, because it's a 30-year cycle of interest rates, down and up and down and up. But, you know, we could have, maybe they won't go up this year, and maybe the Fed won't raise the rates this year. So I'm going to give you the arguments for that. And what would happen if China's GDP falls to 5%? I think that's a real possibility. Would it come in at 7% this in 2014? 7 point something, 2, 3, I don't remember exactly, but that's much less than the year before, which was 7.5 or 7.7, which was much less than the year before that. And just a few years ago, they were 10, 12% GDP growth in China. It's going down and down and down. Why? What will happen to the world? And what are the arguments that it might happen? And if it does happen, what's going to happen with the rest of the economies in Asia and around the world? Remember, GDP growth, I'm saying growth, only goes to 5% this year instead of the 7% it has. What would that do? What if it goes to 4% or 3%? And I put that out there because it's a possibility. They're having problems. They're trying to hide from the rest of the world. And it's going to show up. Anyways, that's what we're going to talk about. Did you see what the market did today? The Dow was down 144 points. The NASDAQ was up 7. And the S&P was down 11. Kind of a mixed market. Mixed strongly, don't you think? I mean, if the NASDAQ's up 7, but the Dow's down 144? Odd. It's just odd. I think we're just seeing the beginnings of a year of volatility. 2015 is going to be the year people, I think, are going to remember because there was a lot of volatility. And we're just seeing it. We're just seeing it in January. We saw it start last year, into last year, and we're just seeing it roll into the first month of this year. This is what it is. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. If you're looking for a money management solution, please, I invite you to take a look at our select growth and income programs, handpicked mutual funds for flexibility. We have different models to put you in. You know, we try to cater to all risk levels of people. How much risk do you want to take? And we have a portfolio that will help match that. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I hope you'll give me a call. I want to talk to you. So, what are the questions that you should be asking in 2015? And, you know, even though that's the title of our talking point today, you should be asking these questions all the time. Every time you got to ask these kinds of questions of yourself so that you know where you are and where you're going. First one. What are your ultimate goals? Do you want to retire? At what age? Are you saving for your grandchildren or children's education? Are you saving for a dream vacation? What are you doing? What is your goal? Now, everybody should be thinking about retirement. Whether you want to retire or not, or whether you plan on retiring or not, you still should be planning for your old age. No matter what you think, You're not going to be as good in your old age as you are in your younger years. You're going to slow down. You may be forced to retire. So what is your goal in retirement? And even before retirement, what are some of your goals? You got to figure out that. And of course, the next question is how old? How much time do I have for that? How much time do I have left for retirement? How much time do I have to save up for my children's college education? What time? What's the time frame? And then what is your risk tolerance? How much risk can you handle if you're going to invest in the stock market? People say, oh, I could take a lot of risk. But as soon as the market went down, like in 2008, they bailed out right at the bottom. Well, you can't take a lot of risk then. So how do you judge how much risk you're capable of taking? We have a tool for that, but there's lots of tools out there. You go to our website, investtalk.com, and just scroll down to what color is that block? Blue box? Is it a blue box? Near the bottom, and it's a riskalyzed questionnaire that tells you what your risk level is from 0 to 99. Then you can put in a portfolio, and we have portfolios that match that risk tolerance. If your score is 29, I got a portfolio that is in that range. If your score is 80, I got a portfolio for that. In other words, what your risk tolerance is when you answer these simple questions. And the final question is, do you want international exposure, foreign exposure in your portfolio? Do you know if you even have it? Most people do have some and they don't know it. These are just some of the basic questions you need to ask. And I know people don't want to think about this stuff, but you know what happens as time goes by, it creeps up on you, and eventually you get to be too old and you didn't consider any of these things. I have relatives in their early 60s, late 50s, and they're just coming up and thinking about it, and they don't have enough time. They're not seriously doing anything about it. They will when they get in their 70s, and they still have to keep working, and then maybe is going to hire them, give them work. Got to think about these things, people. I do. Of course, it is my profession, so maybe that's unfair. But you do really need to think about it. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We want to hear your questions. I want to hear any of your financial questions you might have. And the number to reach me is always the same, 888-99-CHART, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Now, coming up, we'll take a look at what your portfolio should look like in retirement on Invest Talk 101. And hopefully, we'll hear from you. We'll hear from you.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on Invest Talk.
Chart, time to give me a call. Let's talk to Jim. Jim, listening to us on AM 1220. How you doing, Jim?
Very well, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I was just wondering what you think of Pfizer.
Pfizer, of course, everybody knows, a big branded drug company. What's nice is they're huge. They're $204 billion, and they have a really nice dividend, 3.5%. So that is very comforting because I'm pretty sure they're going to maintain that dividend. And they've been increasing that dividend year after year after year. I don't see them stopping that. Now, is it a good place to buy? Well, it's run up pretty sharply the last couple of 3 months since November, since that October low. And it's a little bit on the pricey side. P.E. ratio is around 14. And sales have been falling 2% over the last year or so, falling. You know, mm-hmm. the way you look at the drug companies, Jim, is you look at, do they have any expiring patents of any of their big drugs coming up? And if they do, that's the worry. You know, Pfizer is so big, it's having trouble growing its sales. It's steady sales, but slowly shrinking in sales. So they need another big blockbuster drug, which they are looking for, obviously. I think it's one of these blue chip type stocks that you put in your portfolio because you like the dividend and you want to live off that dividend. And I would probably wait for a decent pullback, and I buy it and put it in my portfolio and just ignore it, Jim. Just collect the dividends.
Oh, great. Okay. All right, thanks, Steve.
Thanks for the call. That's Pfizer. PFE is a symbol. PFE. Let's go to Normal in San Jose. How are you doing, Normal?
Fine. Good afternoon, Steve.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, I have a question on symbol V as in Victor, X as in X-ray, S as in Sam, T as in Tom.
Okay.
And I was thinking of buying that because that goes moves around a lot from 15 to 20, 19, but compared to V, VXX, which is more expensive.
This VXST is not coming up. Is this a volatility ETF based on the volatility index?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's V as in Victor, X as in X-ray, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, yeah.
Huh. I wonder why it's not coming up. VXST. Huh. I'm not getting it, of course. Let's talk about the volatility index, though, because I'm very familiar with the VXX, and I'm very familiar with the volatility index. So are you asking me whether you think you should be in the VIX?
No, I was thinking of buying it compared to the VXX because it was cheaper and it moves much more range.
So it'd be a lot more on the risky side. Because is this particular one leveraged?
No, not leveraged. No.
Okay.
But I think it's put out by the CBOE because I was on their site and then I saw this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that I've been watching the VIX very carefully over the last few years and extremely closely last year. And I think we're in the middle of no man's land, so I don't know if I would buy it yet. What you really want to do when you buy these things is you want to wait for the extreme, either extreme fear or extreme greed. You know, either people are really, really worried or they're not worried at all. And then you can use the VIX, the various VIX ETFs. If you have people that are not worried, these things fall and they come way down. And that's when you start buying them, because there will be some, but something's going to happen to cause people to worry, and they'll rise. And just the opposite, when everybody's really frightened, these things spike up, and then you can trade them to go down. And I find that's pretty predictable, Normal, predictable.
Okay.
But you got to wait for the extreme. Be patient, and you might be months waiting for that. Traded this twice last year, twice, the volatility index, and made pretty darn good gains on both times because I waited for the extreme. Okay?
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thanks, Normal. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART is our number. We're here for you. I'm going to talk about the busy week next week, both in economic statistics that will be released and what's going on politically around the world that's going to probably impact our markets. I think we're going to be looking at more volatility to come up. And, of course, earnings is one of the things that will be happening. We're in the middle of earnings season, and to next week will be a ton of earnings flooding out. We had a good amount this week, but next week is usually the biggest earnings week after the end of the quarter, this week and next week. Okay, so we're going to be looking at that, and I'm going to be talking about that. I also want to talk about why the Fed may not raise rates in 2015. Why? They may not. Why is that? And what would happen if China's GDP falls below 5% or below? GDP growth falls 5% or below. It would be dramatic. Life is good for Morgan Stanley, the CEO. He gets $4.4 million in restricted stocks in 2014 bonus. That's one of the headlines in our news feed section and homepage of investtalk.com. Is that something you'd like to talk about? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us. You can do it right now here on Invest Talk.
We're happy to say that thousands click on our podcast every day. You hear us talking about individual portfolio reviews along the way, and there is no reason why you can't enjoy the benefits no matter where you live. Steve does these for a limited number of our podcast listeners via Skype or telephone, and if you think it would be worth your while, just click on Make an Appointment on InvestTalk.com, and the staff will get in touch and make all the arrangements.
888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Our listeners on radio or podcast can reach us anytime. As you know, we're here to answer your questions, no matter when you ask them or when you want to ask them. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Chris from Salt Lake City, Utah area, and I listen to the iPodcast. My question is, Tango Mary Fox, TMF. I use it to balance out my other funds due to the fact it's got a very good negative correlation and it seems to be working. Give me your thoughts on it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, this is a direction fund, and the direction is a fund family, and they produce ETFs and mutual funds. Direction, it's an exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to three times the New York 20-year-plus Treasury bond index. So the bond index goes up 1%, this should go up 3%. Bond index goes down 1%, this should go down 3%. So it's highly leveraged. And I don't have a problem with leveraged funds tracking an index or currency or any other commodity or whatever. But as long as you understand that there's going to be a tracking error, and if it's trying to do it three times the underlying index, and this would be in a 20-year bond treasury, it's going to have what we call a tracking error, and the tracking error gets bigger and bigger and bigger over time. So, you know, in a year, you look at the index that you're tracking, and if it went up 3%, don't expect this to be up 9%. It won't, because there'll be a tracking error. It might be up 6-7%, maybe even 8%, but it won't track it. But there's nothing wrong with using leveraged funds as long as you know what they are doing and you're doing it to reduce risk in an overall portfolio. I don't really care for them to try to make a lot of money. I think they're better use in balancing portfolios or hedging against different things. They're good hedges, that kind of stuff. Let's go to Kevin in Novato. How you doing, Kevin?
Good. How are you doing, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I just like your question or your opinion on American Railcar Industries, ARII. I've been kind of looking at it for the last couple weeks, and it looks like maybe it hit a bottom, maybe.
It does look like it's bottoming. It really does. It looks like a double bottom once in December and now here in January, and it looks like it's trying to bounce off that. This is American Railcar Industries, ARII, manufactures, repairs, and refurbishes covered hopper tank rail cars, components used in the production of rail cars, railroad industry. Now, why would the stock fall in the last, since September, from $80 down to $47 to $50? Why would it do that? Well, because the oil prices fell in that same time period dramatically. Why would that make a difference? Because, obviously, if oil is falling, gasoline and diesel fuels are getting cheaper, and things will be moved more by truck. That's the thinking, anyways. Might be wrong thing, because remember, railroad industry uses oil and diesel fuel too, so their prices are going down. So I do like it. I think it's a good, strong company, and this would be where you'd want to pick it up. Now, Kevin, if oil falls more, this will probably fall more, right? I mean, if it does. But I think oil might be trying to find a bottom, just like this stock is trying to find a bottom.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, and the yield is 3.2%. It's a good, solid company. Very, the five-year P.E. ratio is as low as 8 and as high as 125. But this P.E. for this stock right now is 10, 11. So it's really close to its low range. So I kind of like it, Kevin. I kind of like it.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking that this might be a good spot to buy.
Yeah, if you're going to buy it. Yeah. If it goes back to $80 a share, think about this. What is that, a 60% increase? And if it takes, let's say it takes 5 years to get there. Okay, 5 years. Let's say it takes that. Okay, what is that? Let's say it takes 6 years. That's 10% a year plus a yield of 3.2. You're getting 13.2% a year, and it takes 6 years to go back to where it was, say, 3-4 months ago. How can you complain about that?
Yeah.
You know, you can't. So just, you know, I think it's a good time. I think it's a good buy. I do. Okay?
Fantastic. Thanks for your take on this.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to fall more. It means that it looks like a bargain right now. But it could become more of a bargain. But, you know, it's a bargain now. What I think. Let's go to Sam in San Jose. How you doing, Sam?
I'm fine, thank you for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have a question on AT&T stock. I hear that Google is going to do some wireless work, and I was wondering about AT&T and Verizon.
Yeah, Google's going to use T-Mobile and Sprint's service, and they're going to start. Google's going to offer their own wireless service using their T-Mobile and Sprint's network. Okay. And what will that do to AT&T and Verizon? You know, Sam, I don't think it's going to have that big of an impact. Google's paying, I mean, AT&T is paying 5.6% dividend yield. I don't think that's in jeopardy. I really don't. And Google, it's going to be, you know, initially for the next few years, even if Google is successful, it's still going to be minuscule compared to AT&T and Verizon. So I don't think you need to worry about it if you want to buy AT&T or Verizon, and I don't think they're going to collapse just because Google's getting in the business either. Okay?
So should I add more AT&T? Should I buy more AT&T stocks now?
Well, I think it's at a good price. It depends on how much you have in your overall portfolio. If your overall portfolio you have, you know, 3% of AT&T, I wouldn't buy any more of it. You know, if you have $1 million, you know, I wouldn't have more than $30,000 in AT&T stock. You know, you don't want to be over leveraged in any one thing either. You can go up to 5%, but that's about as high as I would suggest you buy of any one stock. Okay? Sam,
thank you.
Thanks for the call, Sam. I appreciate it. We're coming up on the deadline for the early bird discount for our February 7th Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. You get a $10 off bargain if you register by the 24th, which is tomorrow. That means a price would be $35 per person instead of $45 per person. And the title of this conference is going to be The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. They have an effect on a lot of things, a lot of other sectors, the economies, a lot of other economies. That's February 7th at the Hyatt House in San Jose. Sign up is easy. Go to investtalk.com, and if you do it by this Saturday, you can save $10.
You may be taking more risk than you really want to. The first step to finding out is using our free risk analysis tool. It's right there for you on investtalk.com. Just takes about 5 minutes or less. And then you can see if your current retirement portfolio is really a good match for you.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, next week is going to be busy. We have the Greek election Sunday. And why is that important? Because it looks like the liberal side of their political spectrum is going to win. And that side has said, we don't want to live under these stringent rules in place on us by the EU because we borrowed billions of dollars. We don't want to have to pay it back. I guess that's what they're saying. I don't know. And we don't want to change our economy, even though their economy stinks, and that's why they got in trouble in the first place. But the elections are coming up, so there might be some rumblings about, you know, them coming out, pulling out of the EU. They want to get out of the EU, but they still want to use the euro. That's not going to be available for them. And we have a Fed meeting next week, another one. They come out about every 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. Another Fed meeting, we'll see. Earnings are going to come out hot and heavy. We have some more home housing news coming out. Home prices, new home sales, pending home sales. We had new construction this week and existing home sales this week. And these are all different reports. And the two reports this week were pretty good. So there's a lot of other economic news coming out too. This is just some of the highlights for the week. So it's going to be a busy week next week. Busy, busy, busy. I don't know if that's going to translate into high volatility, but it wouldn't surprise me. Just would. Time for Invest Talk 101. What should your portfolio look like in retirement? Now, it's only natural for folks approaching retirement to want to fold up their investing tent and come inside, become very conservative. But there's a lot to say for maintaining a diversified portfolio in retirement, because you're going to live a lot longer than you think, and you need to still grow your money. Not saying you have to be aggressive, because it really is a personal choice. If you do not want to be aggressive, you can make that choice, as long as you have enough assets to support yourself in retirement. Now, we all know cash in the bank has not given us any kind of return, not only less than 1%, more like 0.1%. And the fact is no different. That fact is not going to change just because you're in retirement. Bonds aren't giving you much of a yield either. You know, 2, 3, 4% conservative, safe bonds. So how much is inflation? Well, it's certainly more than 1% right now, even though we're seeing a deflationary spike. So if inflation, it returns to norm over the years, remember, if you're going into retirement, we're talking 20, 30, 40 years of retirement. Normal inflation is 3% a year. So how are you going to survive if you don't at least make some money to stay up with that? So should you do bonds? I think you should have bonds in your portfolio. I think it's a very good way to reduce risk in your portfolio in retirement. But do you know how to buy bonds? Are you guys going to buy a bond mutual fund, which to me is not a good idea? So how do you do that? Maybe you should ladder a group of bonds, ladder them out. You know what laddering means? My big concern is bonds are more complex than stocks in buying them. You want high-quality bonds. That means investment grade or higher if you want to have safety. But people have been buying junk bonds right and left. Junk bonds are not paying very much, and they're not safe. They're much less safe. But you get higher yields, and people are in love with the yields. Well, you won't be in love with it when the holder of the junk bond goes bankrupt and they don't pay you back even your principal, let alone yield, interest. See, be very, very careful out there, everybody. Be very careful. We'll talk more about balance between stocks and bonds for retirees coming up next. And that's Invest Talk 101. If there's a money topic you want to know more about, just go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Steve, and tell me about it.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
Hi, Steve. I'm calling from Aventura, Florida. I like Brazil, so I have BRXX, the infrastructure in Brazil. I want to buy BRF, the ETF of small caps, because are very low price now. What do you think? Thanks.
Brazil, everybody. Brazil, of course, is a big commodity exporter. And, of course, commodity prices have fallen. And this is one of the problems that Brazil is struggling under. Not the only one, but one of them. But I'll say this. I think they've come down pretty strong. And this might be a good time to start thinking about the Brazilian market. This BRF is an exchange-traded fund seeking the performance corresponding to the Market Vectors Brazil Small Cap Index. And you got to remember, their whole market is not that big. So I would like to look inside the small cap index and find out what's in there. But it's come down from almost $31 a share in September, today $19, almost $20 today. And it's been hanging around this area for well over a month. So this might be a place to pick it up. It pays a very nice dividend, 4.5%. And I'm curious about that dividend because small caps generally don't pay dividends. So you'd really have to get into this and find out, well, is that a dividend sustainable? Is that just a one-time special dividend? So you can't, I don't think you buy this for the dividend, even though it looks attractive, because they did pay a dividend. But small caps don't usually pay dividends. So really the question is, do you think Brazil's economy is going to turn around now? Yes or no? If your answer is yes, then you buy it. Does it look like on a chart that's trying to find a bottom? The answer is yes. So you could take a risk right now. If the world economy keeps falling, if their economy keeps falling, this is going down further, right? But I can tell you from a chart point of view, this looks like a good support. Now you got to think, is Brazil economy going to turn around? And it's going to be tough because commodities are still weak. Still weak. Okay? Why the Fed won't raise rates this year? I have an argument that they may not raise rates, and I think it's a strong argument, and I think we need to explore it. Remember, they have said they're going to raise rates sometime this year. And not so many words, but they say if the economy continues to improve, of course that if the economy continues to improve. But think about the unemployment rate and different things. Shouldn't this be a signal that the economy has improved and they should be raising rates now? Why haven't they? So why they may not raise rates, why they shouldn't raise rates this year. InvestTalk is here to be a ready resource for the average investor. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. So give me a call if you'd like at 888-99-CHART. If you'd like to learn more about our true tolerance, about your true tolerance for risk, go to the blue box that's on investtalk.com. Free risk analysis tool on our homepage at investtalk.com. Give it a try.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. When you become an InvestTalk insider, you gain access to some informational extras like a list of commodity ETFs that allow investors to gain exposure to various areas of the commodity industries. To sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program, just go to investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART is our number. What do you want to talk about? Why the Fed may not raise rates this year. Remember, everybody and every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every pundit out there thinks interest rates are going up this year. I've talked about it myself, saying interest rates are going up. And I think interest rates will go up. And I think it's a high probability they'll go up this year. But they may not. I don't like absolutism, as I've said before, just not that long ago. Why may they not raise the rates? Well, we know that unemployment rate has come down and more jobs have been produced. But many of those jobs are part-time jobs, more than normal. And the labor participation rate, in other words, that part of our workforce not participating is really low. So something's not right there. So maybe the Fed wants to see improvement there, and we're not seeing it so far. Another reason. The dollar has just spiked up. It's been rising, for months now, and it just spiked up again, especially with the QE coming out of Europe, announced yesterday. So the dollar is now getting so high, it's making our exports uncompetitive because of the cost. Anything produced in dollars, it's going to be expensive in everybody else's currencies. Their currencies fall compared to our dollar. That may hurt our economy. It's going to hurt our exports. And one other thing about the employment, some of the best jobs that we've been producing are oil jobs out of the shale oil. They're going to go down this year. And we're looking at deflation. Not inflation. Inflation is very, very low. If it gets much lower and we start fighting deflation just like Europe is and Japan did for all those years, Europe is fighting it now, deflation will throw us into a recession. And the world is already struggling with economic growth. China's slowing down. Europe looks like it's really close to a recession. Does that give the Fed any confidence to raise rates? No. See, there's very strong arguments that the Fed won't be raising the rates this year, even though they said they are, if the economy continues to improve like it has. And I think the economy is going to stay fairly steady for most of this year anyways, for far as we can see so far. Interesting arguments, huh? We may not. The Fed has, I remember when they said they were going to cut QE by a certain time and it never happened. It was almost a year after they said they were going to cut it that they actually stopped. They started cutting it. So you can't rely on the Fed to keep their word because they always have that out where it depends on the circumstances. We're going to do this, but it depends on the circumstances. Now, if your questions always your question comes first, always. Whether you have a stock strategy or just want to talk about something financial, call me a call, your IRA, your Roth IRA, 401k, whatever. We're here to answer any questions at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. It's Kyle from Raleigh. I had a question about my 401k. I have about 5% allocated into a world equity fund. I don't know if you think is now the time to maybe increase that stake. I'm 100% invested in equities, but only 5% is allocated to world equities. So I don't know if maybe I should have a little bit more exposure in there, maybe since Europe might be doing a little bit better now. I wonder what your take was on it. Thanks. Love the program. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, world equities funds means that they're investing around the world, okay? And you really want to know, well, where around the world? Because you'll find many of those world or international funds are very heavy in the United States. So if you're thinking you want more exposure in, let's say, Europe or China or Brazil, you know, wherever it is you want to go, to Canada, Vietnam, I don't know, you have to look at what they're holding to see how much exposure is that place where you want to go. It may not be doing what you want to do is all I'm suggesting. So, yeah, there are parts of the world I think you should be thinking about to invest more, but make sure your world fund does what you want it to do. Before we close the hour, remember, you can sign up now for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on February 7th. If you do that by January 24th, tomorrow, we'll discount the interest fee by $10, so just go to investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial. I thank you for listening today, and let's do it again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.